Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going to be discussing Canto 3, Chapter 23. The last verse of Chapter 23 is 57. The title of the chapter is Devahuti's Lamentation. Something wrong with this. Devahuti's Lamentation. And the scene is Devahuti and Karma Muni, both perfected souls, have in Satyuga, Devahuti, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, Karma Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, born directly from his body, pretty unique. Swayambhuva Manu also was born directly from the body of Lord Brahma. They've been married for tens of thousands of years because duration of life in Satyuga is of such length. And she's feeling a lamentation, specifically that the benefit that she could have derived from the association of her good husband, and we'll hear in the purport of this last verse, other opportunities for good association, perfect association, she's spoiled it. The Puranic literature, this is Bhagavat Purana, and Puranic literature gives historical narration, and through the historical narration it's displaying teachings that are found in the Vedas, summarized in Vedanta Sutra, explained or commented upon in Srimad Bhagavatam. And a lot of the commenting is summarized in different sections of the Bhagavatam, particularly Canto 1, the first three chapters, and other places where essential teachings are summarized. So, Shrama Evahi Kevalam, Not Padiyad Yadi Ratim, Shrama Evahi Kevalam, that verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2. Strong language. One has wasted their time. Shrama evahi kevalam is a strong word. Absolutely wasted time. And she's saying that about herself. Now, like other great souls who are perfected, she's perfected. But she's, part of her perfection is profound humility. And she's characterizing herself as having wasted her life, wasted the opportunity of having all the association that she's had. We'll hear in the purport. So the this concluding section of the chapter, it's just one-on-one conversation with Karma Muni, where she's expressing profound humility that she's wasted this superlative opportunity to be in a relationship with the perfected soul, and she's wasted it. Specifically, this section is describing she's wasted it because She hasn't inquired about liberation. So this goes to intention or sankalpa. It's a nice. I like Sanskrit because you don't know what it is. And you have to like just hear the word and then say, what that? And you hear what it is. So, oh, that's what it is. So you form a conception, a new, fresh conception about something. And there's also, when used in connection with devotion to Krishna, it carries special potency. So, intention. Behind every act, there's some intention. It's even before you think the thought, which comes, you think the thought before you do the activity. So the functions of the mind, just unplug it. Unplug it. Okay. The aliens are invading. Even you unplug it, doesn't work because the phone is charged with a battery. Okay, so. Thinking, feeling, and willing are functions of the mind, and functions of the mind always precede action. Thinking, feeling, willing, and then you do. So behind it, behind every action, there's some function of the mind. And behind the functions of the mind, there's some deeper thing. Desire. And deeper thing than desire in material existence, unfortunately, is ignorance. Buddhism teaches that the root of suffering is desire. Then comes activities of the mind, and that's why it's difficult to be attentive when chanting japa, because there's desires. So, Buddhist solution is just get rid of desires. And when you get rid of desires, what's left? Nothing. So the goal is nothingness. Because desire brings suffering and you don't want suffering, and so just get rid of desire. Then Vaishnava teaching is it's desire is not the problem, because desire is of the soul. The problem is ignorance. And the primordial ignorance is ignoring Krishna. And after ignoring Krishna, then you have ignorant desire. And then you have ignorant activity, and then you have suffering. So one who fails to have the intention of becoming free from ignorance, free from ignoring the personality of Godhead, that's a big problem. And resources, saintly association in this case, because this is a big theme of this whole big section of the Bhagavatam, the way to get over material existence is association with saintly persons and the qualitative way that you associate with such persons and who are they, and over, that's the theme. So this is chapter 23. She's lamenting. I haven't taken proper advantage because I had a different intention. My intention wasn't ultimate liberation. Ultimate liberation is language that Prabhupada uses. Canto 1, Chapter 2. Again, this is the Bhagavatam is taking teachings that are within Vedanta Sutra, which is the summary of the Vedas, and giving histories that explain them. Here's one history, Devahuti and Kardavamuni. Dharmasya hi apavargasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. The verse is saying, one should never, because people generally do, you'll hear in the purport, people generally, Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita, people generally see religion as a means of prosperity in this life and heaven in the next life. Not just, you know, this part of the world or that part of the world, this religion, that religion. Generally speaking, that's how religion is viewed. And then go to heaven, and then the idea of liberation is, for many people, it's a merge. Liberation means you go to heaven. There's no distinction between heaven and liberation. You know, salvation. There's no distinction. That's a nice topic to expand on, but I'll say it in a personal way. I never had a difference of understanding between the kingdom of God and heaven till I became a Hare Krishna devotee. What's the difference? It's the same. Salvation means you go to heaven, because you go to heaven and it's a permanent situation. You go to heaven and that's it. And then, you know, in the bad place. And that's it. And the human life is you go up or you go down and that's it. At least, you know, the teaching that I heard when I was growing up. What's the distinction between... Anyway, I won't say it again. So... Dharmasya hi apavargasya. The purpose of dharma should be for the intention, for the purpose of apavarga. And Prabhupada uses that translates it as ultimate good. Pavarga and apavarga. Long description, so many times. Pa, ba, ba, ma. This, I don't know Sanskrit, but it's a declension of one of the syllables. Pa, ba, ba, ma. Ma, mrityu. Pa indicates faina or foaming at the mouth, like fruit of activity. Ba, bhaya, fear. Pa, ba, ma. So, apavargas go beyond all that stuff. You know, material existence. Ultimate liberation is go back to Godhead, not just merge, because I don't like this, I want, stop it. Merge, become one with Brahman, or just become nothing. Take your pick. So, apavarga, so inquiring about liberation is what's the goal? Just a little sharing. I became involved in Krishna consciousness at a university, and the person who was in charge of the local center was Rupanuga Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple who Prabhupada had sent there. And, you know, later on, Rupanuga became the temple president in New York, and he still liked college preaching, so I was his assistant, and we would go to colleges. He was a very interesting person. He was naturally bald, and he kind of looked like a movie star. Like, you, many of you don't know this person, but Yul Brynner. Like, whoa. Just his whole presence was, whoa. So his routine was, these were classes, just like, you know, religion class 101 or something like that. So he would say nothing. He'd come in with his Yul Brynner demeanor and set up a cloth, madras, a colorful cloth, a picture of Krishna, little picture of Prabhupada, not say anything. All the students are going, you know, what's going on? And he would then light a stick of incense, sit down in a yoga position, light a stick of incense, ring a bell, offer the incense to the picture, and he hasn't said anything yet. And then he looks around at the audience, and his first words were, "What's the highest truth you know?" Whoa! Where is this guy coming from? So what's the highest truth? Who even thinks such a question? What to speak of? Articulate it. And you know, there's a Vedic conception. It's a long description. Different ideas of what truth means, but a Vedic, one of the important Vedic conceptions of truth is that from which everything comes. The absolute truth is not a relative truth. It's not dependent on anything. That from which everything comes is the absolute truth. So, you know, what's the absolute truth? Was his question. What's the highest truth you know? That's where the question starts. It's a little bit like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Ramananda Roy, what's the goal of life and the means to achieve it? Let's start talking about, that's where we start the conversation. What's the goal of life and the means to achieve it? Not like, Haribol Prabhu, how you doing? So, Devahuti is lamenting, I haven't asked that question. I haven't taken the opportunity to be in your association for this Apavarga. Instead it was other things. Now she's a perfected soul, so it's certainly, she wanted to be married to Karna. She was given the privilege of selecting her husband. And because of what she heard from Narada about Kardama Muni, she knew who she wanted to be married to, because he's such a qualified person. But she's lamenting, oh, I didn't take advantage of in a proper way, because my intention got spaced out. I started there, but then I got spaced out. I was thinking other things. So, I just read the previous two verses, then text 57. So you just get the mood and the place. They're in a forest. Tens of thousands of years of austerities together and doing all that they did, meditation, because it's Satya Yuga, and other things. Perfectly satisfied. You know, her mind is not agitated, oh, I missed the palace life. She's fine. But I haven't taken proper advantage. So, until now we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification, neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Text 54. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. bhaya. Text 55. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. These are important teachings. Text 56. Anyone, so this is like the negative side, anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, next, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, next, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he is breathing. Now, similar teaching, Canto 2, those who don't do this, that is like a material object. Life is absent. So what's life? Life is in relation to the Supreme Life. And otherwise, where's life? So obviously, the soul is conscious and there's life. But as good as dead, you know, as when the soul leaves the body. What's the purpose of life? What's the goal of life? Lord Chaitanya's question. And if you don't know the goal of life, and if you say, yeah, that's the goal of life, and you space, last verse, end of purport. My Lord, so she's speaking to her husband in a very respectful way. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For, in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. Mumukheya bandhanat, liberation from material bondage. And liberation from material bondage is not sayuja mukti. This is speaking of going back to Godhead and being with Krishna in his eternal service. Purport. An intelligent man or woman should utilize good opportunities. The first opportunity is the human form of life. And the second opportunity is to take birth in a suitable family where there is cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Semicolon. This is rarely obtained. The greatest opportunity is to have the association of a saintly person. Devahuti was conscious that she was born as the daughter of an emperor, not just an emperor. Swayambhuva Manu is one of the Mahajans, according to 7th Canto Bhagavatam. So not just an emperor. She was the daughter of great soul, one of the perfected great souls. She was sufficiently educated and cultured, and at last she got Kardamunia, a saintly person, and a great yogi as her husband. Still, if she did not get liberation from the entanglement of material energy, then certainly she would be cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy. Actually, the illusory material energy is cheating everyone. People do not know what they are doing when they worship the material energy in the form of goddess Kali or Durga for material boons. They ask, Mother, give me riches, give me a good wife, give me fame, give me victory. But such devotees of goddess Maya or Durga do not know that they are being cheated by that goddess. Material achievement is actually no achievement. I mean, it's strong language, right? No achievement. Because as soon as one is illusioned by the material gifts, he becomes more and more entangled, and there's no question of liberation. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets, so he's not advocating the false kind of renunciation. Because Rupa Goswami doesn't advocate that, and the Bhagavatam is not advocating that. Does not throw everything away or give everything up and become a monkey. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets for the purpose of spiritual realization. That is called karma yoga or gyan yoga. Whatever we have, we should use as a service to the Supreme Person. It is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Sva karmana tam avyarcha. : One should try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's assets. Last sentence of the whole chapter. There are many forms of service to the Supreme Lord, and anyone can render service unto him according to the best of his ability. It ends on an encouraging note. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 23rd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, Devahuti's lamentation. What's the goal of life and the means to achieve it? So we have that great fortune, devotional service. And how do we get it? Through Prabhupada and or representatives, empowered representatives. And how did he get it? Same way. So we're on the right track. We have received great fortune. Don't misuse it. Otherwise, I mean, the condemning strong language is, you'll be cheated by the illusory energy. What's that cheating look like? Well, it's continuing to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. But, continue to maintain having a car, or a cell phone, or a computer, or a house, or a family, job, taxes. Not doing those things that's problematic. It's the attachment to the sense that I'm going to find happiness there. And it's a good deal. I get to be in devotional service and I get to find material happiness at the same time. It's a good program. Cheated by the... So, when intention is clear, this is a Vaisheshika Prabhu saying. It's cute. It's a play on words. Wherever intention goes, that's where attention goes. And you know the other one, where attention goes, energy flows. So he advocates paying attention to things that are important, like, increasing book distribution. So if you have an intention, then your attention goes there. And if you don't have that intention, your attention doesn't go there. You can say, yeah, and then your attention goes somewhere else. like so many other things in life. So what's the ultimate intention? You know, the language that we're hearing is this apavarga or mumukshaya bandhanat. And it's not merging. It's not becoming one with Brahman. Now, people that don't know devotional service but consider themselves spiritual in the spiritual marketplace these days, I'm sure we all have experience to see if you move around a bit and, you know, interact with people. It's all one. It's not a new slogan. In the ultimate analysis, it's all one. The goal is to become one. It's out there. What does that mean? You know, you get different ideas of what that means. But it's a slogan. And our understanding is, in the ultimate analysis, we have an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. That the highest truth is there's a supreme personality of Godhead, and we have an eternal relationship with him, which due to ignorance we have forgotten. And the goal of devotional service is to connect with that relationship once again, in whatever it is that we do. One of the little comment on japa. One of the essential elements of japa is we're associating with binatvam nama namino. When we're chanting, don't be inattentive because you're directly associating with Krishna. Don't be inattentive because you're directly associating with Krishna. How rude. Offense by being inattentive. The root of all offenses, because we're not understanding, due to ignorance, that the name and the person are the same. No small matter. And it's our means to be in Krishna's association for this age. Primary means. And through that primary means, all the other means. Her lamentation is pointing to taking the opportunity, in this case, sadhu sangha, with the right intention. So many other things, like in our devotional service, so many other things that we do. And we don't trash them or throw them out. But we don't get distracted from the essence of why we're doing those things, or we should cultivate not getting distracted by paying attention, by being attentive. Why? It's not a bad question to ask. It's a good question to ask. It's not a source of... It can be asked from a place of doubt. Like, you know, why am I doing this? Kind of, maybe I should do something else. But the why... purpose, you know, the purposefulness of the why is good. It's like recalibrating because we're distracted due to ignorance by the material energy. Material energy covers our consciousness so that we lose it and into the world of distraction while we're engaging in devotional service or chanting the holy name or the opportunity of sadhu sangha is a theme in this whole section. It comes up again, this is 23. 25, 24, chapter 24, Kardamuni leaves. She's anticipating he's going to leave. He leaves. 25, oh, I'm lamenting. Now, in this case, she's not lamenting that she missed her golden opportunity. She's lamenting that I'm just attached. So she's in front of her son, who she knows is the personality of Godhead, and she is asking him, how do I get this ultimate liberation? She's asking directly, because I'm attached. I mean, I know the philosophy, but I'm attached. My husband's gone. We've been together for tens of thousands of years, and as she's using this language, you know, a perfect loving relationship. I mean, after all, this personality of Godhead became their son. Perfect loving relationship. So how do I overcome this attachment and go to the position of ultimate liberation? She's asking it again. And just some appreciation of the Bhagavatam's composition. Canto 11, Chapter 2 opens with Narada Muni is in Dwarka. And Vasudev, the father of Krishna, because this is Devahuti, the mother of Kapiladev, Vasudev, the father of Krishna, says to Narada, I got distracted because in my previous life I underwent long austerity. Now he knows this because Krishna told him, in your previous life, this is what you did. In my previous life, I underwent long austerities. And the benediction I wanted was to have, as a son, the personality of Godhead. So I got a son, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. But I never consulted with you with the desire for ultimate liberation. So could you discuss this topic with me so I won't waste my life? That's Vasudev. You know, who are we? But it's like Devahuti. He's a perfected soul. He's not one of us. And he has profound humility. And he's inquiring about ultimate liberation, specifically devotional service. And that's the question that invites Narada to describe this whole thing with Navayogendra visiting King Nimi and all the questions asked by King Nimi and the answers by the Navayogendras. Feeding the importance of devotional service and how and why and what. That's the Bhagavatam. What's the goal? Become situated in our position of ultimate liberation. And ultimate liberation doesn't have this notion of this is a crazy place. What's Donald Trump going to do next? Let me out of here. And then there's going to be a war, and what do we do? And, you know, let me out of here. Kali Yuga, let's turn the dial and go to Satya Yuga. It's not one of those. That's not that kind of liberation. It's the ultimate liberation. How to be situated in and focused on so these Navayogendras, they're on the same platform as Narada. They do the same things that Narada does. They have interplanetary travel. They don't even have a Veena. They can go anywhere. They're on this perfected stage, and they come to give association to King Nimi. But to hear about that was the inquiry from Vasudev. I failed to inquire about liberation. You can read it. It's right at the very beginning part of Canto 11, Chapter 2. It's an important question. It's a theme. We should be inquisitive to be clear what the purpose of our life is and the means to achieve it. The goal of life and the means to achieve it. devotional service. And the medium is the association of sadhu taken up in the right way. Same as Bhagavad Gita's message. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya, etc. And the benefit is there, it's described. Even if one doesn't know, like the Devahuti is saying, even if one doesn't know what the benefit is, the benefit's there. The potency is there. So we're making progress if we take association, even we don't know, we're dull. But at some point, you know, the light has to come on. And we say, oh, that's the purpose. So that's, you know, that's good. That's the purpose. And then stay focused on the purpose, the intention. And that's then your attention will go to the name. And that which is spiritual and have a connection, conscious connection with that which is spiritual. That's Upavarga. And a full life, even in this temporary place, like Prabhupada is saying here, using assets in service to the absolute truth, Krishna. And not otherwise, not otherwise. It's a challenge. And if we don't meet the challenge, we'll be bewildered. And, you know, birth and death. And all of that. And Kali Yuga is progressing. I'll just end with this. I very clearly remember, because I did it every day for months, I was distributing books to JFK, and it got down to, there weren't others that were doing book distribution at the airport, so I went myself. And during some period of time, I drove instead of taking the A train and the Q10 bus. So I drove to the airport, sat in the parking lot, had prasadam, and while I was taking prasadam, listened to one class again and again, every day for a long time. And in that one class, Prabhupada was describing the process of devotional service is very merciful. Through this process of devotional service, as similar as it's being said here, one gets enormous benefit, even if you don't know that you're getting enormous benefit. But then he would say, and if you don't complete your business in this life, Krishna is very kind. You get an opportunity your next life in a human form of life, as he's saying here in this purport, and get good opportunity to continue your devotional service in your next life. And then Prabhupada said, but as Kali Yuga progresses, it gets more difficult. So best you finish up your business in this lifetime. And I turn the player off and go into the airport. Charged with the idea that it's really important to complete our life in devotional service now. And it's not going to happen unless you have a clear sense of what the purpose is. You can, you know, muddle along. I'm just being a little facetious, but we can be mediocre and take birth again. Or we can strive, and Krishna will help us, seeing us strive what the goal is. And even if we're weak, he'll help us because we're clear what the goal is. And we're striving. Then strength beyond our strength will come, and other resources and association will take proper advantage. That's the encouragement of this chapter. Last verse, last sentence. There are many forms of service to the Supreme Lord, and anyone can render service unto him according to the best of his ability. Now the good news is ability increases as you Krishna gives more ability and more ability, and just make your best effort, not just to do something, but to be clear what the purpose of that something is. And then more ability and more ability to the best of your ability. It's a nice process. There was many other things I wanted to say, but I'll stop with that because of time. Any discussion? Yes.
When I'm hearing, sometimes I find myself becoming overcome with the intention of information gathering, as opposed to, you know, purification. It's kind of a repetitive thing, and I'm not sure how to tackle it.
Well, you gave the answer yesterday in the car ride. Remember the answer you gave? Even if, keep trying. You know, it's like when the mind wanders. And from whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring it back. And when the mind is wandering, you don't even know it's wandering until the mind is wandering, and then you bring it back. And when you do recognize them, you revisit the intention behind. So I'm not there because all the reasons. I'm weak, I'm distracted, I'm conditioned, etc. So, you know, don't go into a lamentation space, go into a rededication. Yeah.
Part of the reason I ask is I was reading, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about overcoming bad habits and why it's essential for us to actually, you know, that should be our goal. And there's an article actually. It's one of the
Retraction of Bad Habits.
Yes, that one. So he speaks, you know, you can take 5 years actually to just work on one thing.
Yes.
If it's something, I just can't visualize 5 years of college.
Sure you can. Sure you can. We're going to live another, most likely, you know, most of us will live another 5 years. So, you know, you're going to do something and now it's 5 years. Now, we'll do many things in the course of 5 years. My understanding of that message is, you know, it's not that you only do one thing for 5 years, but you pay particular attention to something that you feel this is doable and important. And what happens is other things get strength from that one thing. Do it the other way. Don't focus on anything. We're going to do something, but it's not going to have significant lifting benefit. Now, advice: don't become simply conscious of the bad stuff, and rather you pay attention to the bhajana kriya, and strength from the bhajana kriya is drawn over there to the retraction of a bad habit. We don't put an anarjana vritti as the horse that pulls the cart. We put bhajana kriya as the horse that pulls the cart of anarjana vritti. Keep that sequence or priority or the positioning of things in proper order. Our devotional practice gives purity and strength, and we take from that strength over to the retraction of bad habit. Otherwise, we're going to be distracted from our devotional activity and be obsessed or absorbed in our shortcomings. It's not going to result in getting rid of the shortcomings or the bad habit. The spiritual solution is not just the retraction part. The spiritual solution is the devotional power that comes from attentive practice. Very interesting. Yes?
I was wondering, what is the best intention to have? Because at some place in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says to have intention to go to spiritual world, and then in the same Prabhupada, the Prabhupada says, at least better than that is to have intention to serve, whether you are in this particular world or the spiritual world.
Well, depends on the answer, the response to your question is, it depends on where you are in your trajectory of spiritual evolution. In the beginning stage, I remember a Back to Godhead article, Prabhupada was saying, in the beginning, it's very good to desire to go back to Godhead. It's artificial to say, oh, whatever. It's because then we can stay focused on go back to Godhead. And as one becomes attached to Krishna, because you have to become attached to Krishna to go back to Godhead, then it's what Lord Chaitanya said. You can do with me whatever you like. So it depends on where you are and your spiritual trajectory, which is the best. In the beginning is, I want to go back to Godhead. Or, I want to be with Krishna. That's kind of the same, it's a little above. I want to be in my relationship with Krishna. What's limited?
The ability.
Ability is limited. Same. Well, that's life.
Right. But then, when I'm hearing this, I sometimes feel that the expectation is of my own mind. That doesn't make me feel that, you know, I'm wherever I am, I have to move from there. And Krishna is accepting, I'm not accepting my own efforts.
So, say yes to Krishna. And that means, say no to Maya. Because this other is a distraction. It's lamentation. You know which mode that is. So say no to mode of ignorance and say yes to the best of my ability. I mean, you can add, you know, Krishna, if you so desire, give me a little incremental boost in my ability department. But you don't have to ask that. Krishna will do it. Take that resource that, it like anything, take that resource that you have and use it to the best of your ability, and Krishna supplies more. Don't use it wisely. Krishna will supply more. Or at least, you know, for one who is on the path of devotion, Krishna may restrict it. Yes.
My question is very related to what Mataji asked. I was contemplating that. How to know that we are serving to the best of our ability?
Just assume, in the mood of reality and humility, we're not. So you keep striving. But not in a striving in a lamentation spirit, striving in a I wish to improve spirit. We'll say the same thing in the opposite way. If you If anybody feels I'm doing my best, that's Maya, that's illusion. Say it the other way. Someone who is really doing their best feels they're not doing their best. Like, you know, Devahuti and Vasudeva, just using these two examples. They're perfect. Feeling I'm not. So both humility and reality, we're not. While they are, we're not. No, in the back.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, how to identify what is a distraction for us?
Just put your hand in your bead bag. Start chanting the holy name and see where your mind goes.
For example, like we are doing some service and sometimes the child comes back, hey, I want this, I want that. We have to go back. So, like, that's my duty or that's a distraction?
Of course it's a distraction. I mean, it's not like the stage of perfection is the mind shuts down and becomes blank. That's not the, you know, the goal. That which is in pursuance of the service that's in front of you. I mean, the best test is japa or kirtan, the holy name. Where does the mind go? Because when that becomes disciplined, then your other activities will also. I mean, one of the verses that I wanted to, one of the additional things I wanted to discuss, your question touches on it. So I think I'll go there. There's this wonderful section of Padma Purana that's called Bhagavat Mahatmya. And I circulated that to, you know, persons who I send things to. And there's one verse where a description is given how to receive the full benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. There's four parts to it. I mean, it's a long section, but there's four parts to it. I lost the page. Here it is. Vishvaso Guru Vakyeshu. Having complete faith, Vishvasa, Guru Vakyeshu, in the Vakya, the words of the spiritual master. So there's a start. Faith. Complete faith. Svasmin dinatve bhavana. Dina. Having a realistic conception of who you are. The realistic conception is dina. Realistic, a modest, you'll say, a modest conception of self. Not false, not radical and extreme, but not inflated either. A very, you know, a modest, humble conception of self. Trinadapi sunichena. Mano dosha. Jayas chaiva. Jaya, victory over the faults of the mind. Woohoo. We got some work to do. Katayam nishchala matihi. The mind nishchala. katayam. With rapt absorption. So if you want to get the full benefit of this, in this case, it's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the activity, our primary, the Bhagavad Dharma method is hearing and chanting that leads to everything else. My recommendation in response to your question is be really focused, really energized, make your best enthusiastic effort in your activities of hearing and chanting every day. And that will help you in response to the question, how to, with other things. With the primary activity, it will help in all other activities. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's the assignment. Lifelong assignment. That's it. Okay. So we're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.